All right. Good morning, University Christian Church. I hope you can hear me. This is your pastor, Nathan Hill, coming to you from Bethany Beach, Delaware, with the ocean behind me hitting my feet on this little chilly Sunday morning. Actually, it really feels nice out here. I wanted to come here in front of the ever-flowing, massive ocean and the power of the ocean behind me because it really speaks to our sermon today, our scripture today, the power of the ocean, the power of water. I'm not saying water is bad or good. Water is important for life, but being out here in the ocean reminds you who is boss, that the ocean is boss. No matter how good of a swimmer you are, the ocean is in control. Yesterday, we learned that well because we experienced the power of a really dangerous riptide twice. Lifeguards had to come out and rescue some of our retreat attendees who were getting pulled too far out into the water. The riptide was powerful. And if you don't know what the riptide is, it's this force that drags you out into the ocean. It's that undercurrent that's so powerful. And we always give instructions when we have a retreat out here that if you feel caught in the riptide, your panic mode is to try to swim toward the beach, which once you're caught in the riptide, you're going to get pulled farther and farther out. And so it'll control you. Oh my gosh, I'm getting wet here. and of course you don't want to go further out because you'll just get dragged out into the ocean. You want to swim parallel to the ocean. You want to be a little bit smarter. You want to go a different route. Out here, the ocean reminds you, even the most veteran of swimmers, that who is boss, who is in control. It's a reminder that we human beings, that we may think we control nature and everything, but there's a lot that we are not in control of. There's a lot that controls us out here. And in recent weeks, we've even heard news reports about floods in Texas and West Virginia and Pakistan, where sometimes claiming lives, destroying communities. In my home state of Oklahoma, where I grew up, there was this little Washita River, very small river. But when it would flood, it would carve new paths through the earth. It would wipe out bridges. Again, water would remind us, and creation remind us, that who is in control here? Who is the boss? And that's the power of water, and the power that we should think about as we consider this story today of Noah, the ark, the flood, this story of flood and promise. Now, we have often used this story like a children's story with a cute little boat and cute little animals, two by two, going into the boat, where Noah is part of the restoration of creation. But this is a story really about evil and about God's response to evil. At the beginning of the story, God notes that things are no longer good. At the end of Genesis, at the end of the first chapter of Genesis in the creation story, God says, looks at everything God has made and says, it's good. And now it is corrupt. It's evil. Things are out of control. There is violence. Humanity has turned to evil. So God responds. God decides to take action. God does it by first partnering with Noah to be the remnant that would help recreate creation. Noah and his family, the only righteous people that God seems to find, even though there are many stories in other cultures of these kinds of flood stories of other communities being saved. God picks Noah in this story. And Noah and his family gather living creatures. They go onto the boat. The floods come. God, in essence, redoes creation to the way that creation deserves to be, that God wants it to be. God's vision is for creation to be good. And at the end of this 150 days and then 40 days of waiting, dry land emerges again. The waters of creation subside, and the earth is pristine again. And Noah and the creatures emerge from the ark and begin to be charged by God to be fruitful and multiply, to help recreate and repopulate all of creation. It's a challenging story. And in some ways, it challenges who we understand God to be. Do we think God is capable of such destructive acts, or is God a God of love who just sits in the sidelines and just, you know, soft and kind and hugs us all the time? You know, it challenges a lot of questions about God. And we give ourselves permission to ask what we think about God from these kinds of stories. But here's what the story also tells us, is that God responds to evil. God is invested in overcoming and dealing with the problem of evil and injustice in our world. Now, in this instance, God decides it's so bad that God's going to recreate, wash over the whole world and cleanse it from wickedness and start over, in essence. But at the end of the story, God gives this symbol, which we interpret as a rainbow, which you folks in Hinesville will see that symbol in your sanctuary this morning if you look around. And this symbol is a symbol that God commits to deal with evil in a different way in the future. God will not flood the earth again and again to deal with evil, but God will actually commit to new ways of caring for creation, of caring for the earth. The covenant is one-sided. God makes this covenant with humanity, with creation, with all living creatures, to no longer flood the earth to deal with evil in this way, which opens the door for other covenants to come. The covenant with Abram, who would be the father of many nations, who would come to bless others. Covenant through the house of David, through Israel and Judah. A covenant, ultimately a new covenant, through Jesus, who offers us life and life abundant, and a life free of sin and evil. So I think we take away as Christians that God is committed to responding to evil. God is committed to caring for creation. God has a vision for this world and for our lives that is good. And that's good news. And in this one-sided commitment, though, God doesn't ask anything of us. And yet, it is an invitation for us to respond as people of faith. Say, how will we respond? Will we be people committed as well to addressing evil in our communities, in our households, in our world? Will we too be a community, a people of faith, committed to care for creation, to tend to and be stewards of all living creatures and of this landscape that we inherit? Or will we destroy it too? Will we infect it with evil? Will we turn against one another and bring war and violence on those that we think are our enemies? Will we turn to wicked ways? That's the question. God commits to caring for creation and for us through responding to evil. Will we commit to do the same thing? This is a challenging scripture. I admit it. It asks interesting questions about God. Some of us don't like to think about God in this way, as a God who commands the powers of creation that could pull us out and, you know, could overwhelm us. Even though we see every day, and I'm seeing right now, the power of the ocean, reminding us who is boss and that there are things bigger than us. Sometimes we want to make God so small and timid. I'm reminded of the story from the Chronicles of Narnia, where the little boy Edmund, he has been freed from imprisonment, and he's on his way to meet Aslan. Aslan is the king of the realm, and Aslan is a lion. And Aslan has come to free the people from the grip of evil and violence. And Edmund hears that Aslan is a lion, and he says, he's really a lion? Well, is he safe? And his companion who's with him says, safe? No, he's a lion, but he's very, very good. We serve a God who is good, who chooses to respond to evil, who chooses to confront evil, and invites us, like Noah, to be partners in that work. As we begin this narrative lectionary series, may we know that and hold on to that, and may we respond to this covenant, and may we also be protectors and caregivers of this creation, working for a world that God can look at and say, it is good. Thanks be to God.